Hey, welcome to Sports Program.
It's the Sports Program on TSPN with Derek, Zach, and Sean, who's been here the whole time. Head over to timespentpoorly.com and give the show a 5-star rating and review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify and help move this show into more people's suggested lists. This show is also streamed live on many platforms including YouTube, Twitch, and Periscope. Follow and subscribe so you don't miss out on an opportunity to chat in and give the guys a piece of your mind during the broadcast. Want to support the show? Great! Go to patreon.com/timespentpoorly to see how you can do that. And now, it's my pleasure to bring you the hosts of the Sports Program on TSPN, Derek, Zach, and Sean.
Hey everybody, welcome to the show. We are live at 5-ish. It's 10:30 on a Saturday. That's exciting. I did figure out that I could make that work, because those videos are embedded on the show on the website, so I can actually do just one video. That's kind of nice, one screen.
You nailed it.
Yeah, welcome to the program, everybody. Welcome to the Sports Program. I'm excited about this. I'm excited about today. I'm excited about some football. We have Notre Dame and Clemson will be playing today. No Trevor Lawrence still, but he's still not in, but that's all right. I think it'll be okay. Super Cam, Super Bowl. I don't think so.
Christopher has been preaching that, which, you know, the first couple weeks you were kind of like, oh, maybe they will be good.
Yeah, I
thought they would build momentum.
Yeah.
I did hear, though, from that camp, from the Patriots camp, that Belichick is still interested in keeping Cam Newton as a starter even into next year. So,
well, I mean,
he's not one and done.
Why not, man? He's still got, I think he had a lot of confidence, got COVID, is losing that confidence. So maybe if they get a good win, it might change things.
Yeah.
And like, you already have him. You can get some other pieces in with the draft or what have you. And then,
free agency, even though they're like tradition, you know, someone shared this stat last week on TV, I think, but they haven't drafted. Maybe a free agent's a different story, but drafted, and this is a team that's known for drafting well, they haven't drafted a Pro Bowler in 8 years. So as much as people want to talk about how well they draft, and it does seem like they do, they're not drafting like all-star caliber players. But another thing that I heard on TV this week is that they have the most cap space of any team going into next year. And they are great in free agency. You know, they're really good at picking up those like 1 or 2 year deals of guys like Cam Newton who need to prove themselves, get 12 wins in on a season, and then they just move on the next year. So they'll figure it out. This year is looking a little rough, but
it just sucks because it's like, that last game too, you're like, oh, Cam might pull a Brady, go down and win this game with the last seconds, but he did what he does and he fumbled.
They've been a part of a lot of really close games,
yeah.
But so have a lot of other teams with losing records. Mm-hmm. Like, for example, like the Chargers every week, and they did it again. Chargers every week are in a close one. Falcons every week are in a close one. Even the Broncos have been in quite a few close ones, but Vikings. That's the difference between a good team and a bad team, though. Teams like the Steelers always squeak out the close ones, and teams like the Chargers and the Falcons always find a way to lose those. And what's weird is it seems like the Patriots have moved from a team that always finds a way to win the close ones to a team that can't get it done. So, like, that's what we're seeing this year. But they're that close to being a team that's won, flip the record completely.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, it'll be interesting. So before we jump too far into football, we should definitely talk a little bit about some of the other stuff that's going on. For instance, we could cover my absolute confusion on what is the NBA.
I don't think they knew, right? Like, it just seems like there is not a common front between the people that run the NBA and the players at all.
Yeah, it's a little confusing. From last thing I heard, though, is they did approve the season to start on December 22nd. So it is starting this year. I'm still super, you know, normally over the summer is when you hear all the changes. I mean, I think about around before this time last year is when I knew that Carmelo Anthony had joined the team, and I was very excited about that. And now at this point, I don't know if he's still going to be on the team, but I don't know what they're doing with anything. When's the draft?
The 17th of this month, which is pretty crazy, right? Like, you know, normally the draft is beginning of the summer, then you get summer league, plenty of time to get like some, you know, legs under these young players. These guys, the college players, because the college being canceled midway through last season, these guys haven't played in so long. Like, it's going to be really interesting. How do you evaluate these guys? And like, how much can a rookie truly contribute this year? We're so used to rookies coming in and just immediately contributing now.
Yeah.
At least on mediocre to bad teams, they become like the guy instantly. But I don't know. I don't think, back to the free agency thing, though, is I don't think we see a lot of moves. They say like the Giannis domino is what's going to trigger everything else at this point. But it just doesn't seem like a lot of time, a month and a half, for general managers to do any sort of work. We're used to like Daryl Morey, who recently joined the 76ers from Houston. We're used to him making a bunch of deals around this time period. He probably just got to Philadelphia, right? Like,
right.
I don't know. I think the Blazers stay put. I think like the Spurs, who have to make a decision on if they're going to keep LaMarcus and DeRozan and try to win this year, or if they want to go to the youth movement. I don't think they have a lot of time to make that decision. It's interesting. I think the Blazers stay put because they're a few injuries away from being a much better team last year.
I did see that the Knicks are interested in a Carmelo Anthony reunion. I guess my question for Carmelo would be whether or not he wants more money to play in Portland now.
Yeah, and the other thing is maybe they're both going to offer him like the veteran minimum either way. Mm-hmm. He's made plenty of money in his career. So then it's like, does he want to return to New York where he still lives?
Mm-hmm.
Or does he want to win basketball games?
Right.
That's the real question. Do you want to win basketball games and be on a team that you've truly found a niche? Yeah. Or do you want to go play with a bunch of young guys and shoot too many shots and not play defense and win 15 games?
And not only that, he's also on a team where he could retire a Blazer. The fans have embraced him. The team has embraced him. He's actually a key component of the team. They all want him to be there. And the fans, I mean, there are a few fans. I know they were really skeptical in the beginning, but I know like overwhelmingly on the stuff on the boards that I follow and stuff, a lot of people really like him being there and would be really happy if he retired a Blazer. So
it's just one more year. If it's like I want to return home type of thing, you can do that next season.
Yeah, that's true.
And if you want to retire a Nick, do what like other players have done. Kevin Garnett returned to the Timberwolves and like never really played, but he was there and like a mentor. He could go do that the year after and never play any games and just kind of be with the team.
Yeah, that's true.
Or like what football players do, like Michael Vick with the Falcons and a few other players, where they just sign a one-day contract, retire with the team you started on, and never actually play basketball. He could do that next year as well. So
we'll see. What did you say about the trade deadline, though? You were saying it before the show started.
So I think there's a few things about the trade deadline, not just the trade deadline this year, but the like player extensions. So DeRozan, there's a few other players that have the ability to opt out of their fifth year, or they can sign the fifth year extension, make a bunch of money. Normally they have a pretty decent amount of time in the offseason to make that decision. That also gives the team time to decide if he's not going to sign that fifth year extension, I should trade him, right? Like, why keep a guy who doesn't want to be there? So I think they've extended that out into the season this year. So like players like DeRozan don't have to make a decision before the year starts. And I think that makes it really hard on the teams to decide what to do with them. So it'll be interesting. Like, it makes teams like mine and yours even more rough.
Yeah.
To decide. Cause they're veteran teams with people near the end of their deals.
The biggest thing I'm grateful for, honestly, with the season ending as late as it did and starting as early as it is it feels like the Blazers don't have time right now to do a bunch of trades to trade themselves out of contention like they did at the beginning of last year.
They shipped everyone away.
They had a
team that was the second best team in the West, and they still tore it down.
Yeah. And they could have waited a little bit, you know, and waited to see how some stuff played out. Look, keep Cantor, keep even like Leonard, and, you know, just see what they have while they're waiting for Nurkic to get healthy. And, and of course now they could be even scarier. Like, Hood will be back.
They definitely found something in, what's his name? The guy who ended up being really good in the playoffs, who was
Gary,
like,
Trent Jr.
Trent Jr. I don't think if they made those trades and with injuries, I don't think they ever found out what Gary Trent Jr. was. Maybe they did know what Gary Trent Jr. was, and that's why they traded the players in the first place, right?
Or that could be,
they were making room for Trent Jr. and Rodney Hood to be the guys.
Which, like, ultimately, remember, we've talked about this on the show before. It's like, we sit here and we talk about these trades, and we can be upset or bummed, but ultimately, these teams know more than what we know. Just like with the Dodgers trading away. I mean, the best example is when the Dodgers traded away Yu Darvish and the Cubs bring him in. And it was like, ooh, was that a good move?
But then Yu Darvish might be done.
Yeah, and then Yu Darvish in the regular season for the Cubs is a great starting pitcher. So, I mean, like, they didn't do great in the playoffs, but still they made the playoffs. And so, but, I mean.
Yeah. Yep.
They knew more than what we know.
Both sides did, right? Because, like, the Dodgers knew they could win without him. And the Cubs knew he was still valuable. The Cubs are a major team, right? You know what I mean? Like, when you think of baseball and you name the first 10 or first five teams you think of, the Cubs are one of them. They're not poorly managed. They know what they're doing.
Right.
And so do basketball teams, right?
Frankly, we're fans. This show is pure speculation. That's what it is, and we have no bones about it.
But I like Gary Trent Jr.
Me too.
Break me off a piece of that.
I don't know, man.
He plays good defense.
When I think of baseball teams, I think of, like, the Toronto Blue Jays and the Minnesota Twins and the Cincinnati Reds and the Detroit Tigers. And,
I mean,
like,
the Twins have been to the playoffs the last.
The Baltimore Orioles, dude. Those are the teams I think.
The Twins have been to the playoffs the last few years. Yeah. I mean, they don't get very far, but they do get there.
Like, they're there every year.
The Colorado Rockies, dude.
17.
The Rockies had a good season. Yeah.
17 straight losses for the Twins in the playoffs.
Yeah. I literally Googled the teams and just, like, went through.
Oh, you went alphabetical.
No, I just was like, looking. I was like, who do we never hear about?
He's like the Athletics.
Like, and then you do hear about the start of the season.
The Angels.
How the Rockies are supposed to be good, right? And then they just.
Yeah.
When I used to play, like, all the MLB games, like MLB The Show and stuff, I'd always pick teams like the Orioles and the Blue Jays because they always have a bunch of young, like, pieces. And they're fun to manipulate. Like, I just made the Baltimore Orioles good.
One of the things on MLB The Show or Madden, I always like playing the modes, you know, like the mode where you create a character.
Yeah.
And I always find it funny when you're, like, playing on, like, remember I think last year I was talking about this on the show, how my quarterback was the starter for the Miami Dolphins. So now, because of that, though, I have a pretty good knowledge of who's on the roster in Miami right now. Like, it's bizarre. I would have no idea otherwise.
Yeah, when I was in high school and, like, probably the first couple of years after, people would always go, how do you know every person that plays on this team? Like, even the backups. I'm like, Madden. I'm not on the internet Googling the depth chart, although I do that. But it's from Madden. When I played Madden, I knew more about like just the overall rosters in the NFL than I know now. I don't play Madden anymore. I can tell you most of the people I know now are from fantasy football.
Yeah.
That's how we know names now.
That's true.
Well, and especially with fantasy, like you want to know the depth chart a little bit, right? Because if the starting running back is hurt, like you need to know like who's going to be getting carries for the like a team. You can go out and this is what I've learned from you guys is going out and sneakily getting people because like so good example was Williams with the Packers. Yeah. Like I went out and sneakily picked him up and got a ton of return from him. And then now I've dropped him.
Yeah, and he was hurt. And then Jones came back this last Thursday. And even though Jones started and started hard, they finished the game with Irvin, which is what they expected would happen. Like that was kind of the projection. But he was available up until the game started because no one wanted to take that risk. But in PPR formats, it kind of panned out. Yeah, it didn't in standard, really, because neither of them got touchdowns. Aaron Rodgers, every time they were in the red zone in this game, and I have Aaron Rodgers in a league that, like, it's too far gone, right? Like, Aaron Rodgers, I have him starting in a league where I have, like, no chance of making the playoffs. And he throws four touchdowns, and a couple of them, they're on the goal line. I'm like, just hand the ball to Aaron Jones. That's a league that I'm still in it. Just hand the ball to Aaron Jones. He got you down the field. And nope. You can tell their coach called a run, and then Aaron Rodgers gets in the huddle and he's like, yeah, fuck that guy. Like, he's like, remember, and that was the problem with that was why everyone thought there was like a riff last year with the first year coach and Aaron Rodgers is because they're like, Rodgers is gonna audible to whatever he wants. Yeah. And like Rodgers is like, yeah, fuck that guy. I know we only have 1 yard to go. We're passing the ball. I want my fourth touchdown.
It's like Rodgers and his coach have like a pitcher catcher relationship where the catcher's like, you know, throw let's do a curveball. Let's do a curveball. And Rodgers is
nope.
He's like fastball.
Yeah. He
gives him suggestions is what I'm saying.
Oh, well, for sure. And I do think he's a good play caller. Like, I think their coach is great. Yeah. So, by the way, might as well just transition right now because why not? We'll get way more into basketball when basketball starts because we're only a month away now again somehow, which is amazing. Everyone talks about how they don't give Aaron Rodgers weapons. I hear it all the time, right? They didn't draft anybody. They never give him anything. Davante Adams has more touchdown catches in the last 4 years than any other player. He is having a career year. Aaron Jones has more touchdowns since he started starting in the NFL than any other running back. And their tight end is having like a breakout season. So what do people mean? Does he not have four good wide receivers? No, but like, do we think that Hardman from the Kansas City Chiefs, Sammy Watkins, who we've seen try to be the number one on a different team, do we think these are better weapons that Rodgers doesn't have? I don't know if I agree with that. Like, I don't think that if you're a great quarterback, they usually don't have money to give you three or four playmaking wide receivers. You're supposed to make something happen with what you have. Yep. So I think we all do too much like defending of Aaron Rodgers when really we need to be like, dude, you have the same salary cap as any other team. Your team's allocating it in other areas and it's working. So why are you complaining?
Great question.
Like it's winning you games.
It's a great question. I don't know. I don't think anybody knows the answer. I mean, they went, what was it last year? 13-3.
Yeah. So like, is he upset that he doesn't have like a Falcons receiving core? Like that he doesn't have Calvin Ridley, Julio Jones, Justin Gage, because it's not working there. Like,
yeah,
it's that it doesn't work. Like
they still need to pick up some defensive pieces. I was kind of honestly a little surprised to not see a bigger move on like JJ Watt. Even though the other day JJ Watt had that presser where basically he was like, hey, we know I'm on borrowed time, basically. Like, I do not have a long time left in this league. So if I'm going to go to a team, I want to go to a winning team.
Yeah. Well,
like, and he wants a ring.
So that's also a good point. The trade deadline just happened.
Mm-hmm.
Tuesday? So like election day, the next day, everyone made jokes about it, right? Like on all the morning shows. Yeah. They're like,
the big day was yesterday. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Big day was yesterday. And I'm not talking about the elections, the trade deadline.
Yeah.
Did anything even big happen?
So
no, Sean, not huge.
Yeah. Here's the thing about the trade deadline for the NFL. They have tried for the last two decades to make it sexy. Like, the NBA trade deadline is sexy. Like, people big names always get moved. The MLB trade deadline is super sexy because, like, big pitching names always get moved. The NFL, we're lucky if one or two starters get moved. It's been a little better the last 3 years. Teams are starting to switch to this, like the Steelers last year. We're willing to trade a first rounder for a safety we know is going to work.
Yeah.
We're starting to see it, but is that sexy?
No. That said, the Steelers did get a hell of a deal this time.
Yeah, so they made another move. So we're actually seeing teams like the Steelers become a yearly dealer at the trade deadline. But we don't see that from most teams.
They got Avery Williamson. He's a great linebacker from the Jets. Of course, I instantly went and looked at Avery Williamson's social media, and of course he was ecstatic.
He was out in the rain.
I mean, the dude's going from a zero win team to the undefeated team. I'm sure he's just ecstatic. Well, and they needed to make the move. Devin Bush is hurt, and the fill-in, I can't remember his position or his name, he's doing fine.
It's just got to be nice to finally be, like, let out of Alcatraz, you know? Like,
yeah. Yeah.
He's been eyeballing San Fran across the bay for a while now.
Yeah.
He's finally in the city.
So you see a lot of that on the trade deadline, though. A lot of like little pieces where you're like, oh, these are good moves. It's just, it's not sexy. It's just
the Niners, I think, traded one person for Kiko fucking Alonso.
Jets stockpiling 6-round draft picks for the next few years. Yeah. And they really use those well. So, you know what's interesting? At least defensively, the Jets do draft well. Like, we're seeing a lot. Like, Adams going to Seattle. They don't draft poorly. They manage talent poorly, right? So once they get there, they do everything they can to run you into the ground. Poor Sam Darnold.
You see a lot of really stupid comments online. When Avery Williamson got traded, they said a lot of comments were like, well, how good could he be? He's on a winless team. And it's like, that's not how it works.
Yeah, that's not
how this works.
He's
one of 53 men on the active roster. One of 53.
Right. Like, some of these pieces are really good pieces. Like, Khalil Mack is an amazing piece of a mediocre Bears. Like, it's not.
Well, no, the Bears defense is good.
Yeah.
Overall. The Bears,
you know, like, I mean, like, overall, like the team, like the umbrella of the whole team, though. Mediocre. Yeah. Khalil Mack's an amazing piece of that team.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Agreed.
In fact, like with that San Francisco game on Thursday, you have to imagine that even with Jimmy G, I was watching Mullins play. Mullins is not bad. If you had only Jimmy G out, and you didn't have all of the other pieces that were out, I have to think that San Francisco hangs in there and plays a lot better. It's just no one was in. No one was there.
They're playing on a second string quarterback, third, fourth string wide receivers.
Yeah.
Like,
and I don't know if I liked Mullins. And
it's like,
over Beathard, like, who would you, as a San Fran fan, the week before it seemed like Beathard had the better game. Like, who would you have preferred? Do you have a preference between those two?
They're both dog shit.
But like, it seemed like the team had more momentum.
But that's the thing is, like,
Beathard.
At one point, at one point, like, so what, like, not last season, but the season before, when Jimmy G got hurt, Bethard played, and I was like, okay, this is, he's doing all right. Then he started doing dog shit, and then Mullins came in, destroyed the Raiders. Right. And then I'm like, all right, this guy, you know, this is good for a backup.
I think because of both of them playing that way the last couple of years, it kind of made them fall into like a false sense of stability in the backup quarterback position. Yeah. When realistically, they should have made a move for a really solid backup. When you see teams like the Saints last year with Teddy Bridgewater, and then this year with Jameis Winston, Blaine Gabbert being the backup for Tom in Tampa, like keeping Blaine Gabbert, in my opinion, as a backup in San Fran makes way more sense. Just like having someone who you know is hot. They're not necessarily a bona fide starter. Blaine Gabbert didn't work as a starter, right? Jameis Winston didn't work as a starter, but they are first round caliber arm talents. And yeah. Mullins and Bethard are not even seventh round arm caliber. Well,
so
talents.
I agree with you. Like I think if they just have to come in for end of a game, then they can do great, but they can't play whole games.
Not against the Packers.
Well, that's the thing though. Like if,
and not against like the Packers with nothing out there too.
Yeah. With nothing out there.
No.
If they would have even just had like the receivers, Kittle and Ayuk, I think it would have been a total different situation.
Yeah, I think so too.
I agree. I think the Packers were like, oh, we know San Francisco can run the ball with anybody.
Yeah.
Like with anybody they put back there. So let's just try to stop that and then see if they can beat us through the air. Yeah. And Mullins is like, who am I? And maybe that's why they never switched to Bethard, because everyone said in the game, maybe give Bethard a chance like they did the week before. But like, why strip your quarterback of what little confidence you may still have just to put another quarterback out there with no one around you? Like they're going to strip two quarterbacks of their confidence, and you might need one of them again this season.
And you saw that last year. We saw it last year with the Steelers, right? They kept, which ended up being right. You know, I mean, because at least Duck was better than Mason Rudolph, but that's not saying a ton, I don't think. But definitely, I think that shakes your confidence a little bit. And they're pulling out you, and they're throwing in the third string,
a third string undrafted guy.
Yeah. Yeah. And you have the fans. I hope these guys stay away from social media. The fans are going like, pull out Rudolph, put in Duck. We want Duck. We don't care about this season. We just want Duck. He's not good, but we want him in there. At least he's likable. I think that was the thing with last year. At least he's likable. I think we see that a lot these days. At least they're likable. And now that's why they don't get to be in there anymore.
Because if people don't like you very much,
you don't get to be in there. They have to like you still. They may not like you. They may not like the likable one as much as, you know, somebody else, but they'll still like you more than the unlikable person. And then you get benched. Do you like that?
So yeah, I do. I love it. That's great. That was fun with it. You're just riffing. Before we get into our pick 'em, because you know we try to start that at a decent time, which by the way for anyone listening, while we go through the pick 'em, if you have fantasy questions on a particular person, we will try to address that when we get to that their During particular game. For me, as someone who lives in Idaho, it finally feels like college football starts today. I have been waiting for college football to start for me. So far, it's been, you know, all that's on TV is Big 12, Big 10,
ACC,
SEC, like now, Stanford, Oregon. Next week, Oregon, WSU. I think Trojans have a big game tonight.
And even though this year has been awkward and shitty, for those of you who've been watching the show the whole time, though, this year is also marks a big year for Sean and I. As that we have adopted a team. We've both adopted a team officially. Because I've never had a college football team that's worth anything because I watch Big Sky. But Sean and I are Oregon Ducks fans officially.
It's official.
We're Ducks fans. So go Ducks. And you know what won me over was the Rose Bowl, obviously. I mean,
phenomenal game. Phenomenal game.
Easily won me over.
Yeah, you know, you didn't get the full like 4 year Herbert experience, but right. This year everyone else like is
we back. Are now.
Yeah. I'm really excited for this year, even though Herbert's not there anymore. I think they're an overall much better team. And they only have to play what, 7 games. So
hey man, drive over here, watch the game with us. With
what I would prefer this year, I don't want a four team playoff this year. I don't want it. What I want this year is I want them to just say every single conference winner from the Power Five schools gets a team. And then let's take a 6th team from a non-Power Five school, whoever the best one is. If a couple teams are tied, figure it out, pick one. And then let's take all 6, top 2 get a first round bye, and let's do a 6-team playoff. That's what should happen this year.
They should do this anyways.
Don't give me 2 SEC teams. You either win the SEC or you don't. Don't give me 2 ACC like teams. You either win the ACC or you don't. Pick one team from all the Power Fives. Who cares if the Big 12 team has 2 losses? Then that's an easy first round game for someone. Who cares?
Oh, I like that.
Do it again. Hit me with it again.
Oh, I like that.
So, exactly though. Like,
yeah.
Well,
no, it's a great point.
Why don't we just do that?
It's hard for me to care about the playoff of college because of that reason.
Yeah. No, I love the idea too. I think I also love the idea for the future. Do you think there's a lot of stuff that's going to come out of what's going on in current events with COVID, with everything that I think some of the stuff they're going to look at in the future and just take, they'll do it. One thing I was thinking about this the other day, I don't think they will do this, but I do think there could be some consideration, which was how the World Series was played on neutral ground.
Yes.
And they were able to do it night after night after night and get it over with.
Yeah. Same with the NBA Finals. Finals, let's do it somewhere like Las Vegas. Yeah.
So do basically what the NFL does already. Neutral ground. I mean, your team can get there, but I mean, when's it happened?
The Vikings were close. I would like to play devil's advocate on this, and I would like to see if anyone is currently listening to the show. I would like to know why they either agree or disagree with that, right? Like, would you rather see MLB and NBA played neutral territory where anyone can go? Like, let's fly to Vegas to watch the finals.
Yeah.
Or if they like the home and home, like the home crowd atmosphere. Like, I'm truly interested to hear what other people think, because I think for baseball, I like neutral, Derek. Actually, let's swap that. I like that they can play every night in baseball. That's what I like.
That's why I like that.
I do like baseball teams playing in their own stadiums.
So do I.
Basketball, as like a Spurs fan, and I feel like our home crowd helped win us a couple of those championships. It's hard to get away from it, but I would love to be able to fly to Vegas and watch one.
Randy, I'll take a crack at this. Yeah, I do worry about it a little bit, but I ultimately don't think it matters. I think at this point, we're happy for any games on. I think everyone's just kind of happy for any games on. I've been watching college football teams I've never watched before, ever, because it's college football and it's on.
Yeah, Liberty's playing Virginia Tech right now, and I was like, Virginia Tech traditionally plays Liberty. It's one of their easy games, but like nobody watches it. I'm not going to watch them beat Liberty, but Liberty, because of teams missing the first half of the year, are undefeated right now and ranked. I've never seen Liberty ranked in the top 25. So will I now watch that game? Absolutely.
Right.
To the Pac-12 though, they might only get 7 or 6 games in. That's why I say no matter what, win your conference and you get a spot. So it doesn't matter if you play 7 games, 8 games, 9 games, win the games that you play, put them into the playoff. Let's see what happens.
Randy, I also do agree. I actually do agree. I like home fan reactions. I do like that. Although, I do like that baseball was night after night after night. Because you're not losing that momentum. I mean, it's like, okay, when's the game 3? Oh, it's in 2 days. Like, come on, man. Let's play. Let's get that's something I'd be willing to give up. Also, a lot of those teams, the fans travel well. So I mean, you might still have that home field advantage, but also I also think you just open it up just to more fans anyways, because then like Zach was saying, is like, okay, if I know that every game is going to be played in Vegas, I could go out in advance and buy World Series tickets regardless of who the teams are going to be there.
Yeah.
Wherever it's going to be.
If you know the whole series, even if it's seven games, can be played in a 10-day time period, right? Because they only gave like two breaks that whole series, right? 2 1-day breaks, not 2-day breaks, nothing crazy long. You can go to Vegas and say, I'm going to go to Vegas for 3 or 4 days. That means I can watch 2 or 3 of the games, whatever you can afford, right? Like, yeah. You probably wouldn't be able to afford more than that anyways if you were a casual fan. Right. Regardless, right. At least I know NBA prices. I don't really know MLB prices, but like NBA prices, you're probably, unless you just spend, this is like your big spend for the year. You're probably not going to have fun.
You know, you're going to have fun regardless of the teams. Of people who buy Super Bowl tickets well in advance, never knowing if their team are going to be in there. They just go to the Super Bowl. Like some people, oh, I went to the Super Bowl in, you know, 2006. Oh, which one was your team? Oh, neither of them were my team. I just bought tickets to the Super Bowl.
And you know what we wouldn't, you know what we wouldn't get anymore, at least in the NBA. In the NBA, they mention it. The broadcast definitely mentioned it, but I don't know if it's true. Teams seem like when they're say it's a Game 5 and they have a chance to win it 4-1. It seems like sometimes they don't play very hard because they know Game 6 is back at home and they want to win in front of their home crowd. Yeah. We would not get any more of those bullshit Game 5s because they're in Vegas. They're just going to go for the jugular every night.
Yeah.
Like the Lakers did this year.
Yeah. So I think I do like both. I still think I love the neutral ground. I also think, also I was thinking about just what Randy just said too. Having the fans roaring over big plays. I also think fans, when you go to a game, even if neither of your team are playing, you choose a team.
Oh, yeah.
True. So you're still going to get that fan reaction because you're going to choose a side. Everyone there has chosen a side. The people who went and who bought Super Bowl tickets for the Niners and the Chiefs, they chose a team. They chose a team that, you know, as soon as both of those teams were the teams to get in, somebody chose a side. And we do that anyways as fans. We go, even if your team's not in the Super Bowl, you go, all right, well, I'm going, you know, especially like when the Patriots were playing, right? It's like, all right, I'm taking the insert team here, you know? Yes, I'm going for the Eagles, the Falcons, the Giants, the whoever.
Not when they played Seattle.
Except for when they played Seattle. I will admit, I did take the Patriots in that game. I was happy with it.
I cried.
So I watched, I real quick, I watched that Patriots game with a Patriots fan, and I was so happy for him, too. Like, I was happy for my friend, for them to win that game. Like, on that last play, he was such a troll. But it was so funny.
It was almost the same feelings you could have felt for Zach, but it fell short.
I feel sorry for Zach during that game because I was tweeting the whole game.
Yeah, he made it worse. He was twisting the knife the whole time.
We were at that. That was the season before we started the show.
It kind of inspired the show.
It really did. I was tweeting that game, and I think at 28-0, I tweeted, man, if the Falcons get a couple more touchdowns, I really think they got a chance of winning this game. I said it jokingly, and I had no idea what was to come.
And I was just stewing at that
point. I was just making a joke.
Yeah, and I thought
the Falcons had it.
I was just making some good old-fashioned duck stew over here, just stewing on it. I was like, you piece of shit.
We swung you, Randy. Randy, if they ever do it, we'll all go together to a game.
I think
it'll be a blast.
Especially the NBA, man. I thought the NBA was so I liked it.
I liked neutral ground for that finals. Yeah. I think with fans there, it's enhanced.
Yeah.
You bring in some fans. Now we're talking. Neutral ground still. but you got those fans. That's helpful. Fans travel, and even if the fans weren't a fan of the Heat or the Lakers, if they got tickets in advance to go to those games, they're going to choose a side. They'll go LeBron, or they'll go anti-LeBron, whatever. They chose.
That's what it's going to be. That's exactly what it will be.
Yeah, and you know, the other thing I'll say is, like, maybe this year, they, because of COVID, why not do it again one more time? Because, I mean, they'll still have home games for sure this year. But and the other thing they could do is they're still discussing some sort of, like, round robin, like, between the 7 through 8 or 7 through 10 seeds to figure out who the 7 and the 8 are. They're talking about doing that again this next year. And maybe full time doing it. Maybe make all those. Maybe make that round robin tournament on neutral ground.
Okay.
At least for that, because then it's like truly just like a little mini tournament. But I don't know. Anyways, we can transition a little bit.
Well, we should transition into the pick'em.
Let's answer this guy's last question though.
Oh yeah, I think absolutely. Like, you do it in the biggest site. You do it in the biggest site possible.
Yeah.
Because then fans of both teams can travel to every game.
Oh, they convert. Yeah, I say they convert something huge, bigger than any NBA stadium into like the finals.
So everyone can come watch it. Like, literally every game is a home and away game for every team. Because
something massive.
Because once you get to the finals, East versus West, I don't think either team necessarily has earned the right to have home field advantage over the other.
Yeah.
It's amazing what they could do with stadiums, man. They could do, I mean, Randy, you're a wrestling fan. You watch WrestleMania every year. I could even see it being in my vision being outdoors at an outdoor stadium. They put a court in there.
That'd be cool.
Don't do that to me. Do that for the All-Star game. Don't do that for real basketball. Don't make wind a factor in fucking an NBA finals.
Okay. Game. Okay. Okay, fair.
All right.
So indoor, so it's got to be at like the Superdome.
Yeah, if you want to do a summer classic like hockey, like the opposite of the winter classic, if you want to do a summer classic for basketball, sure, fine,
okay. Fine.
Don't put my baby finals outdoors. WrestleMania, keep it outside, baby.
All right, so I'll start it off, guys.
Keep it outside.
Hold on, real quick.
See, he says the winter classic for him. He's down.
We got some music, and you know what that means. It's time for our pick'em. Any questions you might have about fantasy, ask right now, because these are when they will get answered during those specific games. Out of the gate, we had – oh, go ahead.
If you want someone to tinker you out of a championship, we're here for you.
That's what we do. That's our thing.
If you want to be even more confused than you were before the broadcast, we're here for you.
I don't need you guys for that. I do it to myself every other hour.
Yeah, you're a stinker tinker king. I already know that about you. You just sit anyway, on the toilet and you're creating some Sean stew.
That's what I'm going to get into right now, boys.
All right. Okay. We had Packer. First off, Thursday night, we had Packers at San Francisco. Normally, I would actually take San Francisco in this because I think Rodgers has a history of going into San Francisco and laying an egg.
Yes, he does.
But just with all the pieces that were out, I went with the Packers in this one. I found it so hard for the 49ers to pull this out. I like that the 49ers scored the touchdown at the end there to make the score seem like it was a better one throughout the game.
Yeah, they got two quick ones.
The last two scores?
Yeah.
Yeah, they got two quick ones.
Well, you know, and also that's also what made me think, like, oh, Mullins could be a good backup quarterback if he had pieces. But
yeah, he didn't have any pieces, and I don't think we can ever – same with Beathard the week before. It's like garbage time TDs. Who knows if they were truly earned. But the thing about laying eggs, Derek – well, the thing about eggs in general is they're meant to be broken. You know, yeah. They're meant to be broken. And Rodgers broke that egg, baby.
Eaten raw. Yeah. Okay, whatever. He didn't break shit. Okay, and guess what? Who'd you pick? You picked the Packers. I'm a dumbass.
You picked the Niners?
I picked them before those receivers went out on COVID, and I never changed it.
Yeah, I had to change it because I had the Niners as well.
So I still am a little hazy on why the game was played. I think it's interesting that the Titans game got pushed out. I still don't understand why this game didn't just get delayed too.
And
but
They never even talked about it with Kyle Shanahan or anything.
Right. Yeah.
So now hopefully Aaron Rodgers gets COVID, fucker.
Okay.
So I found it interesting that they did not delay the game at all. I
agree. But I agree with both of you.
Speaking of fantasy tinkering, I did it so bad before that game.
Thursday night games mess with people's brains.
Jordan Reed cleared to play. I was like, yes. Like, they have no one else to throw to. He's going to get at least 10 looks, 10 catches maybe. He had one catch. Two targets. And then, you know, we thought that the Packers were going to get ran over again, right? Because but then again, you guys were right. They planned to stop the running game and didn't have to worry about whatever. Anyways, I did too much team Korean, and I'm probably going to lose all my fantasy.
My opponent had a couple players from the 49ers, so he already has 13 points, but I still see myself doing pretty good this week on fantasy. So.
I even put in Nick Mullins. Like, I looked at it and I was like, fuck it. I'm doing it.
You really committed.
Excuse me. All right. So, for second game, we got the Denver Broncos, the Atlanta Falcons. Man, beginning of the season, you know, four games in, maybe I'm going anti-Falcons for everything, but this is not an easy choice, honestly. I feel like the Falcons at home could still
lay an egg.
Do well.
This egg is golden, baby. This egg can't be broken.
So, with that said, I took the Falcons at home. I made my picks on Sunday.
So,
do you want to go last?
Yeah. By the way, you know how I was talking before about looking who teams have beaten and lost to going up to this? Go look at the only losses that the Broncos actually have this season. It's like the Bucks, Chiefs, Titans, and Steelers. Those are their four losses.
Yeah.
They've beaten the Chargers, the Patriots. Like, I don't think the Broncos are that bad of a team. But you go real quick.
Okay, so yeah, I pick Broncos. Especially after beating the Chargers in that close game, I feel like a lot of confidence is just going to be boosted. I mean, and they ran really good. Phillip Lindsay had some pretty big runs, and they just looked pretty slick.
So you're taking the Broncos?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. No, I think that. Okay.
I might change before Sunday if you talk.
So here's my thing, right? I already said the piece about who the Broncos have beaten, and you know I'm a Drew Lock guy. Like he's found his way into my heart, and hopefully someday into something else of mine.
After seeing him sing on the bench, I was kind of over.
Wait, do it for longer.
When he was singing on the bench, I was in.
Yeah, he's a real one. So I truly do think the Falcons have gotten their shit together. Since Morris has taken over, they've won two of the three. They really could have won that Lions game without a Gurley mishap. Dumbest team in the league. The Falcons aren't the least talented. That's for sure. They're not the worst coach. They're just the dumbest. They do some genuinely stupid things. I want to pick the Broncos because the only two times I've picked against the Falcons all year, they won both games. And every other time I pick the Falcons, they have lost. So I should pick the Broncos just so I feel safe going into Sunday.
You can change it.
No, I'm going to take the Falcons, man. I'm taking all the right. Falcons. I'm riding with my boys. But you know I'm going to wake up Sunday and say, Drew Lock has got this. You know I'm going to say
it. His dong is huge.
I think Noah Fant goes off in this game.
Don't talk to me because I benched him for Jordan Reed.
Well, Noah Fant is going off. Someone just offered me DJ Moore for him. Olinger offered me DJ Moore for him. I took it instantly because I'm riding Fant's dick too hard this season. And I need to like at least separate in one league from him.
Yeah,
because if he's on my bench, I'm going to want to play him.
I'm actually dropping... Last note on the San Francisco situation. I'm dropping every San Francisco player I have. I've already dropped Mostert, because he may come back, but whatever, he's out. I don't care. I'm dropping them all. I'm not looking at another Niner player. I, you know, we're done.
You're bitter, right, man. You're so cold.
Bitter. We got the Seattle Seahawks going with the Buffalo Bills. Man, this is actually a pretty big game.
Pretty tough game too to call.
Yeah. I was trying to think of like who needs this more. Like who? What team needs this more? I feel like Buffalo needs this win more because I think a lot of people have kind of come off of the Buffalo
hype.
So with that said, I am taking the Bills at home because I think they're going to be more hungry.
Yeah, and they probably need it also because they know the Patriots are playing the Jets. Like they know the Patriots are about to get a game in the win column. But if they win, they stay up three games on the Patriots, which is important.
What if the Jets win? We'll get there.
Well, why is the music so loud?
Something loud on my end.
It's blasting me.
Do you like it?
It's brutal.
Sorry, it's lower masculine. Now. It's lower now.
I'm trying not to rage this early, boys.
Here we go, dude.
Here we go, dude. You're taking the Bills. I'm taking the Seahawks on the road, and I know that I shouldn't. I preach against the Seahawks every week. I don't think that Hero Ball wins every week, but man, there's a lot of Metcalf and Wilson magic right now.
Yeah, after that Hero Ball talk you gave me 2 days ago.
Well, I'm just not too confident in the Bills still.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why I'm taking the Bills. I think they need a they're going to be looking at a redemption game.
I think they're fired up and they can go out here and play some real defense. What do you think? Sean?
I got a burp. Go ahead.
Okay. I think we're all waiting for the next Josh Allen sighting, right? Like when's he going to have like a week one or a week two type of game? Is this going to be it? And I think Sean's got a little something he wants to say about it. You done burping, bud?
I'm good now. I picked the Bills to start off with this. I think if they can get their receivers going, I think they could win. I mean, I think they could win. If Diggs and Brown or right Brown, do they have a Brown?
Brown? No.
Who's their other receiver?
Besides for Diggs, well, they have Cole Beasley and then the dude from Auburn. I don't know who they have John Brown, yeah.
Yeah.
Downtown John Brown.
Beasley.
Downtown John Brown.
Like, if they can just get
super forgettable dude.
Yeah, I always look at him on the waiver and I'm like, bad idea.
You know, I actually got a few really good weeks out of him last year. But so am I the only one taking the Seahawks?
That's all my point was, like, if they have their receivers fired up and they're moving the ball in that way.
Well, and we had a Zach Moss sighting last week, 2 touchdowns.
I'm starting him in a league.
I played Aaron Jones over Zach Moss, and I had Zach Moss originally, and I took him out for Aaron Jones, and the regret is real.
There he is. You see him? There's your boy.
Okay, next game, boys. I want to say what the next one is.
Okay, you do it.
Eric, you always get to say what the next one is.
That's right.
You do it, I don't know why out of all of the games that I want to do the next one, I would do this one. But okay. I'm going to do it. It's the Chicago Bears versus the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah.
That's it.
Who's playing where?
It's in Tennessee.
In Tennessee.
I got to do the Derek. At the Tennessee Titans.
Yes.
That's why he does it. He's got more flavor.
Yeah.
But I saw him.
He's got that steak sauce.
It looks like he's over there tinkering with something though. So I figured I'd take this one off his hands.
Are you making fantasy moves right now?
I was for 1 second. Now I'm back. So I say it every week and I should probably stop saying it. I'm still not sold on the Bears. It's not it. The Bears defense is fantastic. I still think Nick Foles is a backup quarterback. The Titans had a bad game. That was a bad game. But I think the Titans are the better team of these two teams. I am taking Tennessee over the Bears at home.
Yeah, doesn't it seem like the Bears have built an offense based off of defense and home run threats by Nick Foles? Like, who would have thought that the Bears offense would just be, we're going to throw down the middle of the field to Allen Robinson, and if that doesn't work, then we're not going to have a good game.
And we're not going to win the game.
Well, so Allen Robinson has 12 catches of 20-plus yards this season. That's tied for second most in the league with Calvin Ridley. Which, by the way, if you're tied for anything with a Falcons player, it means it's a meaningless stat and should be thrown out, because if you're leading in any category that's led by a Falcon, it means your team's bad and the category is pointless. Chicago can't run the football, and the Tennessee Titans can run the football, and they both have defenses. And if both have defenses and one team can run and the other one can't, I'm going to take the team that can run the football. Old school, baby. Tennessee Titans.
So you think it's just going to be a knockout, drag out, running show?
Derek would call it a slobber knocker.
Yeah, I didn't know how to say it. Yeah. So
would call it that.
I think Montgomery has some pretty good runs every game. Yeah. He doesn't ever get touchdowns, but he has pretty big runs. Like,
I don't think he's bad. I think the team is bad at run blocking.
Yeah. He never gets touchdowns.
Which is hilarious, because it's a team that plays Nick Foles because they're based off of RPOs. They're a run-pass option team who has no threat of running, which is why their offense doesn't work every week.
Yeah. It's hard.
It's hard to pick Nick Foles, right? Like, you just don't know what Nick Foles you're going to get. So I think the Titans are a more consistent 5-win team out of these two teams.
Yep.
I think it just sucks to be like, Nick Foles is a backup quarterback who has a Super Bowl and beat Tom Brady.
That happens, man. Think about all, you know how many like random, Brad Johnson has a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And you might not even know who that is.
Not even a clue.
He was the quarterback for the Bucks when Gruden won the Buccaneers Super Bowl against the Raiders. Brad Johnson.
Was he the quarterback all year, or did they have someone else?
All year. Trent Dilfer won Trent Dilfer won a Ravens Super Bowl.
I was going to say Trent Dilfer. That's my number one.
Nick Foles, like,
why?
Nick Foles to me is better than Trent Dilfer.
Trent Dilfer
or Brad Johnson.
I picked the Titans. I think they're going to go in there, and I think they're going to,
you know, like a year or so ago, I think it was Michael Wagner.
You could do whatever you want.
One more time.
You could do whatever you want.
I think a year ago, Michael Wagner, I like that his transition right back so smoothly. Michael Wagner said we needed to give a little more, I think it was Mike, so we need to give a little more sports history. Well, Brad Johnson is your sports history fact of the week.
Of the century, of the week.
Of the week. Yeah. And that's all you get. You get no other.
Yeah.
I picked the Titans.
We're all taking the Titans.
I think they're just gonna
do whatever they want. Detroit Lions at the Minnesota Vikings. This is my pick'em game of the week. Because I had a really tough time with this. On Sunday I went with the Vikings, and I have not changed it. So I'm going to stay with the Vikings in this. But I think if there was any game that the Lions would come back and get back, get 500 on, it would be this game. But I am going to take the Vikings for now.
Yeah. Sean, I want you to go on this one.
I think Kenny Galladay is going to just rub his fat dong all over the field. Lions.
That's a weird thing to do with your dong. Like, no, on the field. Not. Mm-mm. You mean like all the players on the field?
No. Or he's gonna do it. He's gonna he's such
like a dog shooter. Does with his butt.
He's gonna rub it on the field as he's running, catch the ball, and then put his muddy dick in the defender's face. What do you think? What do
you really think about that? I'm just really apologetic to anyone in my family who is gonna watch this.
What do you think about that? Like, picture it. Do you want me to?
I was. I spent a lot of time in the last 20 seconds thinking about muddy dicks. And if I never think of one again for the rest of my life, I'll be sad.
We got a couple more shows to do. I could bring it up.
Okay.
So Zachary Taker.
Vikings.
Okay.
I think so. Sean brought it up the other day that the Vikings are a bad team, and I actually think the Vikings are about to go on a run. Personally, not a playoff run, but a run where they actually finish the year around 500, at 500. I think the Vikings are a decent team talent wise. They've lost some defensive talent for sure, but a decent team overall. They're just not as well coached now that they've lost their offensive coordinator to the Browns. Like, that's the missing piece. It seems very reminiscent of the year after Shanahan left the Falcons and went to the Niners and the Falcons offense fell off the map. That's what it kind of seems like, but the talent's there. They'll find a way to get to 500 by the end of the year. And I don't know with the Lions, man. They look really good 1 week, dog shit the next, really good the next week, dog shit for two more weeks in a row. Like, inconsistent, yep. But I like what you said about Galladay. He's a good dude.
All right. So we got the Baltimore Ravens at the Indianapolis Colts. Boy, this is actually kind of a pick 'em. I also think the Colts still have a really good defense. The Ravens probably should have beat the Steelers. But when it came down to it, they just didn't make it happen. I'm going to go ahead and go with the Colts in this game because I think the Ravens were beat to hell. I think they're going to be real tired. They're going to be real tired going into this game.
You girl, you dog.
Honestly, this is a game that I could have gone either way on.
Well, and I
had the Ravens selected, honestly.
I started the year really bullish on the Indianapolis Colts and their defense, and they kind of lost me because I just think Phillip Rivers is really struggling to move the football, but they really changed my mind. I know it was against just the Lions last week, but they changed my mind for sure in that game. And Lamar Jackson's kind of been laying some gigantic eggs against good defenses. Big, big old eggs.
Because
they can't run the ball. So this is a good time to answer Randy's question about Jonathan Taylor Thomas. I love me some JT. I'm starting JT in two of my four leagues, and I will be playing him this week as my RB2. So my question to you, Randy, is what type of league is it? And why is he not one of your two running backs? Why are you in a situation where it's between Jonathan Taylor and Antonio Brown as a flex? Do you just have an incredibly good team? Like,
yeah,
when you're coming down to Antonio Brown and Jonathan Taylor as a flex, or maybe it's a no flex, or it's got to be a flex, actually, if those are your two options. It's got to be a flex.
Yeah.
So if Antonio Brown is your wide receiver three, and John Brown is your running back three.
What kind of team are you rocking?
Yeah. I like a boomer bust guy in my flex spot. If it's one flex, I want a boomer. I want me a boom guy. So your boom guy is going to be Antonio Brown. Jonathan Taylor last week has shown that he is splitting carries between three guys now, and he's not getting all the red zone looks. So if you want 10, 12 points solid, go Jonathan Taylor. But if you want to have a potential, 18, 20-point game, AB's your guy. We saw it with the Patriots last year, right? Like, Antonio Brown came in very first game and lit it up. Oh, I don't think there's going to be a learning curve here. So if you want
really, I have him. I'm not starting him. But, okay, hold on. I'm not starting him because I snagged him. No one else did. And I have Keenan Allen, DK Metcalf, and Julio Jones.
So, okay. But so for Randy, if you're playing PPR, start Antonio Brown. If you're playing standard, Jonathan Taylor is going to get you those for sure points. 12-team, non-PPR, Elliott, Gibson. So he's playing Elliott and Gibson for sure.
Oh, his wide receiver.
Your wide receiving core is stacked, man. I think what's going to come down to is, does Godwin actually play? You might have to play Brown over Godwin because Godwin might miss another week, right?
Yeah.
And
you should just drop Mostert. Fuck that guy.
And Sharks just, right? There's no, we don't know what we're getting out of the Jaguars. So that's tough, man. That's a good team. I think that's a really good team. So like your two options are to play Taylor over Gibson and not have to worry about it. Or it's standard, right? So I might take Taylor over Brown. It all depends to about Godwin then, I guess. Like that's the real factor. Back to this game. I'm taking Baltimore on the road. I know that's wild after all the points that I made, but
it just really is.
It comes out of nowhere, and it's because of this dumb logic that I have where they're due. They found something in their running game last week. They found the rookie got going.
Yeah.
I think he took the job finally, which I didn't know if he would do this year or not.
Was it Dobbins or
Dobbins?
Yep.
But they got a lot out of both. Like with Ingram out, they got a lot out of both of their guys, and like Gus Edwards and Dobbins. I think three running backs with Lamar Jackson, that's too many in the mix. But just having two with Lamar Jackson, maybe you can get some true productivity out of them. Yeah. I think Baltimore is going to get back to basics. I actually think we're finally going to get a Mark Andrews sighting for the first time in 4 or 5 weeks.
Which is sad because, man, that was such a good combo.
Yeah. It makes you also wonder, are they ever going to move what's his name up from the practice squad?
Do tell.
They signed Dez. When are we going to see a little Dez Bryant action?
Which, yeah, I think is definitely
probably never
in the cards.
It might have to be because they don't have a lot outside of downtown or Hollywood Brown, right? Like, so I'm taking I'm taking the Ravens. This is my most regrettable pick of the week for sure, but I'm going to ride them through the weekend.
And then we have the Carolina Panthers traveling to Kansas
City. I never picked.
Oh, well, I'm sorry.
Ravens.
Okay. I'm sorry.
Ravens agree. Like with what he said, I think, yeah, last week they didn't beat the Steelers, obviously, but I feel like they found something. And I think Phillip Rivers is going to, he can't.
I don't like Phillip Rivers against the Ravens defense.
Yeah, that's why.
And
was a game that I had the Ravens selected and I changed to the Colts.
Because you love Phillip Rivers.
Because the Steelers won, we forget that the Ravens had most of that game. Like to the point where you had already like foregone that it was over a little bit.
Oh, I definitely had.
But your boys pulled you back in. We can go to the next one.
Pulled me back in. Carolina Panthers are going to travel to Kansas City to face the Chiefs. And the Chiefs, man, you could do whatever you want. The Chiefs are going to have a day, I think. I am taking Kansas City in this game 100%. I think it's going to be ugly. This is my ugly game of the week. I think it's going to be so ugly. You could do whatever you want. The Panthers. That's the Panthers defense. You could do whatever you want. I don't know, man. I'm Chiefs 100%.
Zach?
So I don't think you're giving enough credit to the Panthers offense, especially with McCaffrey back. Now they have Mike Davis and McCaffrey. DJ Moore is not going to lay an egg 2 weeks in a row. Samuel showed up against the Falcons last Thursday.
By the way, I have Christian McCaffrey still in my fantasy, and I've kept him, and I've kept him, and I've kept him, and I'm finally playing him this week.
You don't drop first round picks at any point. Actually, most fantasy apps don't let you drop first round picks. It's like a rule that's built in. You can't do it.
I'll do it right now.
Randy, we probably will talk about your team a little more when we get to the Falcons or the Tampa Bay game because, yeah, having Godwin and Ridley as your two best wide receivers, that's a rough year because they're both so good and they've been on and off hurt all year. That's rough. I'm going to take the Chiefs because they're just damn good, right? They're going to be too much for the Panthers, but I don't think it's going to be a blowout, man. I think the Panthers hang in there with pretty much any team this whole year. They play good defense. They play good offense. Teddy Bridgewater is a much better. I want to say he's not just a game manager anymore. He throws the ball around the yard. I think Moore and what is his name? Other receiver.
Anderson. Robbie.
Yeah, Robbie. I think like DJ Moore and Robbie Anderson are great examples of how good like he's making them. He's helping them be quality wide receivers.
But Robbie Anderson was already Robbie Anderson could have been a sleeper from week to week with the Jets.
Could have been, but they didn't make him consistently good. So what does that say?
Well, no, but I think he was consistently good. He was just on the Jets.
And I don't know.
I think he's only had like what, one or two bad weeks this season.
He's a great wide receiver regardless. What I'm saying is that before the Falcons game, I believe had the most either like catches or touchdown combo of any wide receiver combo in the league. That's over Ridley and Jones. I would say the Tampa Bay receivers, but they've been banged up all year. But Evans has been so good alone that you could say Godwin and Evans just because of Evans. But like, no, it's none of those teams. It's Robbie Anderson, DJ Moore.
Over Lockett and Metcalf?
Even over that.
Number
one.
Even over who has another?
You just made the list, stupid idiot.
Listen, I got some shit to say.
Even over all of them, that's why they're when you're number one on a statistical category, it means even over everyone.
Okay, well, I'm going with the Chiefs. I don't got much to say about it. I'm sad McCaffrey's back.
Stupid idiot.
Because Mike Davis had to go.
You just made the list, stupid idiot.
Anyway. So what do you do? What do you do if you have, this is interesting though. What do you do if you have Mike Davis and you didn't handcuff him to McCaffrey? Like if you're the guy who just has Mike Davis on a team, but you don't have McCaffrey, do you try to find a way to like bait whoever has McCaffrey into needing him as like an insurance policy? Like do you pitch a trade just for like a wide receiver three for him? Like try to get something out of him? Cause the risk there is that you trade him for a wide receiver three or a RB three and then McCaffrey gets hurt again, and you could have kept Mike Davis for a playoff run.
Okay, well, okay, so I've been drunk a couple times this week.
Sure, that
makes sense. Thought I dropped Mike Davis, so now you're putting a little I still have him. So now
you don't drop him.
I was drunk, and I thought I did, and I think I tried.
You don't drop Mike Davis. You get something out of him.
I'm very upset. You don't understand.
You need to get like a safe lock on your phone.
Six leagues.
You need like a lock that's like you have to breathalyzer, like a USB, well, I guess these are whatever adapter iPhones have that just plugs right in and then it plugs into a breathalyzer and you have to blow. And if you don't blow under like a, I'd say like a point or like a 1.1,
like
if you don't blow under that, 1.2.
Three beers equals you. I should not.
Well, with your body size, that's probably only like 0.08.
Well, I'm fat.
That's what I'm saying. Three beers.
get you. I need like five beers.
So maybe like a one. Yeah. So if you're under that, you're allowed to drop people, whoever you want. Actually, but there should also be like a salty meter, like that determines how salty you are at that moment. But also, like you're too salty, you can't make moves.
You prick your finger and put it on a little blood
and there's reader. Like there's a shit ton of salt in this boy's system right now. Not allowed to drop Mike Davis, or you should at least have to like consult me.
I'm gonna try to do what you just suggested. Actually, so
are you gonna pick him back up and ship him?
I have him. I didn't drop him.
Oh, okay. That's what I'm saying.
I thought I did.
Yeah.
I've tried to do a lot of things.
Figure out who has Christian and then just like rob them for either like their third receiver. Cause I think he's worth that. They're going to find value in having him, especially if they have a winning record and they think they're going to make a playoff run right now. If they have a losing record, they're not going to take the
trade. Here's the thing though. I'm 5-5 and whatever in that league. I'm like I'm the leader. So maybe they'll be like, I don't know. That's one of the only leagues I'm doing good in is the one that I have him in.
Can we do the Giants? Giants. Well, I didn't say it though. I didn't, so we don't have to take any consequence drinks.
Good, I'm actually almost out of my bottle already again.
I can probably send you mine. It's not going anywhere.
I can see Derek's back here. He's been sipping on it, dude.
I still got some.
You've been dipping your little toes in there, ain't you?
I have a weird feeling that all and Andrew on there asked the question. So Cooper, Gronk, Marvin Jones, Brandon Cooks, start two PPR. Out of any of those, I would start Marvin Jones and Cooper. Is there a reason you're not playing Gronk as your tight end in the first place? Like, you must have a good tight end, and then you're like, oh, Gronk's had a touchdown 3 weeks in a row, my friend. Can play, and this is what he's probably thinking, is you can play two tight ends. I've played two tight ends. Last year, I played Hooper and Andrews multiple weeks. I would say Cooper and Marvin Jones. I think Marvin Jones is going to have a monster week against Minnesota. I think, like, him and Galladay are going to go in there and spread it on. If Galladay plays, if Galladay doesn't play, then Muddy Marvin Jones is going to go absolutely insane.
Muddy dicks.
Yeah. Sloppy dongs. Giants, Washington Football Club for men. I think we all picked. I'm just guessing that we all picked the Washington Football Club for men.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep. I don't even have to say why. You know why.
But don't you guys think Danny Dimes looked a little nasty against the Bucks last week?
Yeah, in the last 5 minutes.
That's when you want someone to be nasty.
Nah, dude, I want him to be nasty the whole time.
Okay.
So, Houston Texans at Jacksonville Jaguars.
Not much to say about that game.
Except for that it's like the toilet bowl game of the week.
Yo! We got ourselves a toilet bowl, baby. Well, isn't that crazy that, like, isn't that crazy we actually passed the Washington Football Club for Men and Giants game without calling that the toilet bowl? Like, we had enough restraint to make it to the Texans-Jaguars game to call it what it truly deserves.
Actually, that's kind of bold of us. That's ballsy, because this game right here is a close runner-up.
Right. There's a lot of really good games this week, and what happens when there's really good games is that it means, like, there has to be an inverse, right? Like, we have to get the sewer dwellers playing each other as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think because Washington Football Club for Men is our team for this year, I think we shouldn't announce that as the toilet bowl, and we should move it down to this.
Fine.
Yeah. I think that's going to be a good game, by the way.
I'm taking Houston on the road.
Me too. I don't have a lot to say about the bad game. I
need Watson to go off.
And he will.
Yeah.
They didn't trade Will Fuller.
I think we can finally admit that the Jaguars are truly as bad as, like, the names on their roster say. We gave them a little too much credit. Some people bought into Minshew Mania for a couple weeks. Some people bought into this, like, undrafted rookie running back.
Oh, hold on. He's good.
Sure, because
you got to ride him out all season because I have no one else.
I think he has a bad week, and I think the Texans win. But also, not only is this the toilet bowl, it is absolutely the game I don't care about. If I, like, saw a highlight playing for this game, I would instantly start looking at my phone because I don't give a shit.
I think that it's going to be a high-scoring game.
I think so, too.
So I think if you have fantasy players, play them.
Right. There's not going to be a...
Like, on that... Well, I mean, I'd play Marvin Jones over Brandon Cooks, but I think... I mean, I don't know.
So we all took the Texans.
Texans.
Las Vegas Raiders at the Los Angeles Chargers. Man, I really, really want the Chargers to win more games. I love the team. I love Justin Herbert. I'm taking the Raiders in this game, though. It's hard to go against them right now.
Yeah, the Raiders are super hot right now. The
Chargers. I'm taking the Raiders.
Anyone else have the Raiders over the Browns last week? Anyone else have that?
We all did, I thought.
Yeah.
I thought you had the Browns.
No, I picked Raiders. I said I was.
I thought I was going to sneak one from you because I thought you'd be too biased to.
You're real.
See what was right.
Maybe I'm an asshole.
See what was right in front of your eyes the entire time. Las Vegas.
Yeah, no, I picked the Raiders.
Yeah, like it's not really a road game, right? With the lack of fans, and they only have to travel like what, an hour to go to Los Angeles from Las Vegas. Like, this is prime time Vegas territory. But I want to say, I don't know what the spread is on this. I don't know if there is one. It might be a pick 'em game, which is pretty crazy. It means that like Vegas, the town of Vegas, has a lot of faith in the Chargers still. Every game's close. They just find ways to lose a ball. So could they find a way to uncharger themselves for 1 week and steal one? Sure. But the safe bet is to say that Vegas has this. Not by a lot. It's going to be a field goal game because that's a Charger game. But yeah, Raiders. If there was a game that I woke up and snuck a pick just because my Sunday gut tells me to, it would be this one, though.
Oh, this is going to be the switcheroo, eh?
Well, now that I've started officially doing switcheroos after last week, now that I'm a switcheroo guy. Last
week, you do it every week.
No, I never actually switch them.
Oh, don't even.
Yes, last week was the first week I ever... No, when we've done a show. There's been weeks we haven't done a show where I've switched picks because we didn't do a show. Who cares? So I've changed a ton of shit on Sunday. I'm still making picks. But every week we've done a show, whatever I've said on the show, until the Lions-Colts game last week where I was diehard Lions on the show, and then I switched to the Colts. Like, I came to my senses Sunday morning. You know, drank some coffee, took a dump, had a mint, was good to go. Then I switched.
The classic routine.
Speaking of that, I just switched to the Ravens. That was my original pick, and I'm just going to go with my gut on that one.
Yeah, I just don't think Colts will pull it off.
No.
But, boys. I picked the Chargers.
Woo! One of us had to, man. For the sake of the show. For the sake of diversity.
I just think that if they lose, it's going to be like all the other games. Close. So I'm not going to give up on Herbert. I'm riding the Herbert train. I love Keenan Allen. I'm in.
It's making the quarterback
have in fantasy.
Oh, Herbert's been taking me to Pleasureville for the last 3 weeks. Yeah. Just ultimate pleasure. Yeah. But what's more interesting to me is these games, even though the Chargers aren't going to make the playoffs, they matter in the rookie of the year race, right? Like, him and Joe Burrow have to be neck and neck. Burrow's only advantage is that he played one more week, but I think the stats are good for both and slightly better for Herbert since he started playing, right? But they're both looking like the future of the league. And I like that it gives you a reason as a fan of either team to pay attention because it's something to root for when your team's not having a pretty bad year.
Yeah.
I think it's also cool to see the first round pick come in and actually do good.
Right. He's made every game competitive for them against really good teams.
Cause it's like Sam Darnold was the first round pick, right?
Yep.
Yep.
Baker Mayfield. And the list goes on.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this year they're all looking good except for Tua so far, but we'll get there.
But then Tua, like,
they won. He just didn't have to do anything to win. So it's hard to say he looks good when he's not doing anything yet.
Yeah.
And for the next one, we got the Steelers going to Dallas against the Cowboys. And I've said this in the chat before, like, if there is a team to play down to, the Steelers have a history of doing that. So, I mean, maybe. But then Zach made the point of he doesn't think anyone could play down this bad. So the Cowboys defense is so bad. And then when it comes to the offense, I just don't know how they're scoring points. So I'm going to go with my team on the road.
Yeah, I've had Zeke like 3 of the last 4 years, the fourth year being this year. And that's just because I couldn't get my hands on him, right? Like, just didn't have the right picks at the right times to get Zeke. And now I'm really glad that I don't. Like, Zeke against the Steeler defense just seems like another... They're going to get down early. They're not going to be able to run the football. He's going to be useless.
Yeah.
Because they're going to get down so far. I'm interested to see who they do end up starting. out of the third and the fourth string, because that's where they're between now. Or the fourth and the fifth string now, because they're not playing the dude from last week again.
They're not going to play Donaville or whatever.
No, they're playing like a former Longhorn guy who went undrafted, who played in the XFL this last year, or Cooper Rush. So that's who they're between.
They're just trying to see if they can find something.
Right. They still have so many weapons, right? Like on the outside. But when you're playing a defensive powerhouse like the Steelers, I don't think they're going to have time to sit back in the pocket and find these guys. The game's going to move way too fast for whatever quarterback they do put in there, and I'm going to feel bad for them. And like Ezekiel Elliott doesn't have the line he had in previous years to open up holes either, so they're not going to be able to do any time possession. Their defense is dog shit. This game's a blowout, like absolute blowout.
Yeah.
You would have to play your backup quarterback for this game to be close. And by close, I mean within 21 points.
Yep. Yep.
I'm going Steelers. I have Zeke in like three leagues and I hate it. It's been the worst for me.
I love having Zeke in fantasy.
Every year I have him, the year ends up like this. So.
Well, that's great because the Cowboys are bad and it feels right.
Yeah. Yeah. So. I'm not sad that they're bad. I'm sad that Zeke isn't getting 100 yards and at least a TD every week, but
yeah. So we got the Dolphins at the Cardinals. I think Tua Tagovailoa is going to see his first NFL loss in his second start because I think the Cardinals are still pretty for real. I have Kirk in my fantasy. I'm starting him. I'm going to go with the Cardinals.
I was going to go with whoever the home team was on this one. Legitimately, I know we haven't done that a lot this year. Last year, sometimes if we really didn't know, you know, we kind of just went with the home team. I really like the Cardinals offense. I don't really like the Cardinals defense, but I do like the Dolphins offense. I think if this game comes down to a shootout style of game, I just don't think a young Tua is going to keep up. Right. Like that's where it comes down to for me is I just don't think he's going to keep up. Arizona's a -4.5. I like them to win by a touchdown. So that makes sense to me.
Yep.
I'm going to go with the Dolphins.
Ooh.
Wow.
After watching their defense all year, I don't know, man.
You're going for a boom or bust week with the Dolphins and the Chargers.
Yeah.
Love it.
Boom or bust. But that's
love it.
That's how you hold a lead.
I mean, and then if Tua gets hurt, Fitzmagic comes back in, he'll fucking toss the rock, baby.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think for me, the real thing about, like, I like their defense. I like a lot of pieces they have on offense, but Gaskins is on IR now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you think Jordan Howard's going to come in there and tote the rock? Do you think Breida's going to come in there and tote the rock?
I think so.
I think so.
Gaskins didn't do much anyways.
He had some weeks, man.
This is a Sunday.
He has like one touchdown this year.
He doesn't score touchdowns. He moves the ball. I'm not talking about fantasy, man. I'm talking about real football.
I'm talking about all of it, baby.
they're a balanced attack on offense.
I think if they gave Breida a solid chance, he could get some fucking gains. The boy's fast.
He is. He's yeah. You're right. Okay.
And that's why I think it's weird that they haven't tried to use him a little more, at least on some, like.
I think it's just because Gaskins is young Breida, right? Like, Gaskins is just.
Is he as fast as him?
He's quicker.
I don't know, man.
Quicker. Not overall faster. Not top speed, baby. But he's got that quickness.
Okay. He can swerve?
He's got that swerve.
That's what they said about Irvin.
I think Irvin's got that swerve, man. Did you watched him run the ball, right? Yeah. He cuts up the field hard.
Yeah, it was making me sad.
If he started the entire game, I think he would have had a monster game.
Yeah, I wish he would have.
Because Aaron Jones started off hot, but you could tell he was a little bit limited, right? Uh-huh. Just a little bit. I think he hits the exact same holes as Jones, but makes a little more out of each of them. I think he finishes with like a solid like 110, right? Yeah. Solid 110 yards. another 30 receiving.
And then for what they were saying about Aaron Jones, like they were like, Irvin's going to get the bulk of the runs. That didn't happen.
It was just too even to play either of them, right? Like, yeah. Unless you have like a two flex PPR and you're going to play Irvin as your second flex.
I played them. I didn't play them both in the same league, but I played them both
in different leagues.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm also fucked. So
two Cardinals picks, one Dolphins pick. I don't hate what you did. I just don't ever take road teams that are more than a 4-point underdog. I just don't ever do it.
I think maybe if there was like a crowd, I'd care more, but.
Yeah, I think you're right. It's a beautiful indoor stadium. Any team can come in there and play well. Yeah. I just think that Arizona built their team to be a high octane offense in that stadium. So they're going to
score. I really like what that freaking defense looks like, man.
And they cause havoc, right? Like even on special teams with the return last week, yeah, they just find a way to beat you with, and it ain't flashy. It's not flashy.
It's knockout, drag out, get the win. However, and that's why I loved it so much with Fitzmagic, because that's all he is.
He adds the flash. He adds the sizzle to the
dude. The boy can move. You saw him in those shorts.
Oh, he looks so great in those short shorts, man. So good.
I was like, damn, dude. If I ever questioned myself, this was it.
Right.
All right. So for Sunday night, this is actually this game belongs exactly where it is. This is a Sunday night game on NBC. New Orleans Saints at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I am taking the Buccaneers at home, but I hope this is a really good game. I don't care who wins, though.
No, it's hard as a Falcons fan to care about this game. The only benefit of it is that one of them has to lose. So I like that.
That is a plus.
That's huge.
But now your pick is on the line, baby.
Even with Michael Thomas back, maybe, potentially, I could get fooled again. Even with Michael Thomas back, I like the Buccaneers in this game. I know the in the two Tampa Bay losses, you kind of lose faith, right? But like now we're realizing the Raiders were like a pretty good team. And so like their losses make sense. What was their other loss? To New Orleans week one, right?
Yeah. But barely, right?
I don't think that. And that's the other thing is I don't think the Saints beat Tom Brady twice in a year at all. I just can't imagine a world where Breeze beats Brady twice in a season. So I'm going to take the Bucs, especially at home.
Especially with like, with how Gronk's in play now.
Mike Evans and Gronk and Antonio Brown.
Or AB.
AB, with or without Godwin. If Godwin's back, who might be the best of the whole receiving core? Like, and Fournette's now the guy, right, with Jones out. But Jones is out, so Fournette's the guy.
If you're looking this good, you're positioned this good, you have these players, would you give Godwin one more week with AB coming in?
Why not? Why not give him a week?
I mean, well, if I would.
Yeah.
But it's a division game. Who knows?
I think they've already given Godwin some weeks. Like, I think he's truly coming back fully healthy already. Like, they've really rested him. If anything, it's Mike Evans who needs a week off, man. That dude is he's catching touchdowns, but he is hobbling around the field. That's what a crazy offense, man. Before the year started, I was so skeptical about, are we going to get like a crazy powerhouse Bucks offense like advertised, or are we going to get old man Tom from the second half of last year, old man Gronk from 2 years ago? We don't know what Rojo or Fournette are going to bring to the table, but no, it's none of that. It's high octane. It's great defense. Their defense is better than their offense. Well-rounded team. They are what the Saints were a couple years ago.
Okay, so I'm picking the Bucks.
Okay, we're all together.
Also, if Tom goes to the Super Bowl and wins, I don't think there's a question of who the best quarterback is of all time.
I don't think there are ready.
There isn't now. I don't think there is.
I don't
now.
Know, man. I you know, yeah.
The dude, so before Tom Brady, the Steelers had the most rings of any team. Now Tom Brady has as many to himself that the Steelers have altogether. Mm-hmm. Like, he's that good.
Yeah.
And we're seeing that he at 43 can, or 42, 43, can go to another team and still his arm strength looks fine. Drew Brees is the one who's looked like he's tapered off.
But he doesn't know what down it is.
That happened one time. Everyone slips.
By the way, I'm not kidding. And I told you this too. I was like, I thought it was third down too.
Yeah. We all believe.
I was really confused. I was like, I thought they had another play.
Yeah. I felt the exact same way.
So, but yeah, go Bucks. Go Bucks.
Let's move on to the suck fest of the week.
Is this the suck fest of the week?
No.
I can't believe this is the Monday night game. And I feel bad for ESPN for having it.
They had a lot of bad games last week too. Or last year. Last year, Sunday night was always better than Monday night last year.
Yeah. So we got the New England Patriots against the Jets in New York. I don't care. I'm taking New England because they have two more wins than the Jets, but I don't care.
I think that Cam Newton's going to have a good week. And the Jets will help with that for sure. But I think he's also he's pretty disappointed in how he's played the last few weeks. I like Harris, their running back. You know what? I like what they're putting together. I just think that he doesn't have a lot of people to throw to. It's going to be very similar to week one Patriots, where Cam Newton just ran the ball. They played defense, not a high scoring game. I have this 21-10 and good chance Darnold doesn't play. So if it's Flacco versus Cam Newton.
Yeah, that's not a hard
Harris choice. Is questionable.
Oh, yeah. So, but still, I like the Patriots. I'll be waiting,
but
I like the Patriots with whoever they put on the field because it's the Jets.
Yeah. I have either Harris or Perrine. So I'll be waiting before that game to make a decision.
P. Ryan.
I played him last week like a dumb piece of shit.
I'll probably end up playing Harris in this. Otherwise, I have DJ Dallas from Seattle.
I would play Harris.
Yeah.
Well, if Carson and Hyde aren't back. Oh, no, Titans defense. Never mind.
Yeah.
Never mind. I said we'll wait to get to it, but I picked the Patriots.
But yeah, you thought you were going to sneak something
in. You did a teaser for no teaser.
Because I thought about it. I'm thinking about switching it, boys.
I mean, they're due, right? No one really ever loses all their games. You got to win one eventually.
Unless you're the Lions.
I think absolute mayhem occurs. I think absolute. Oh yeah, I forget the Browns actually won one game in 2 years.
Yeah, they unlocked the beer garden for that, baby.
I from the Bud Light beer garden.
Prior to Baker Mayfield winning, the last winning quarterback of one of their games was Johnny Manziel.
Yeah.
But they've never gone undefeated, and that's what matters. Right. Or they've never gone defeated. Sorry.
They had a 0-16 season. Yeah.
But the last team to do it was the Lions, right?
Right. No, the Browns
did it. The Browns went winless. The Browns won one game in two seasons.
Yeah, no that was way. The second year. Yeah.
That was the second year. They won one game the year before, and then they won zero games the second year.
Yeah, you're probably right.
It was nasty.
So wild.
Historically bad.
Yeah, so everyone
Randy says good chance Darnold's not playing as well.
Yeah, that's we talked about how Flacco's probably playing.
Yeah, you're right. It was the 27-20. I was really drunk that year. I was real
that
drunk
whole that year.
Because that was the year that
the Niners had a rough too.
Yeah, they went 4-5. I think fucking Brian Hoyer was just licking my asshole. Motherfucker. Anyways.
So that's it. That's the pick'em.
Good I love stuff. It.
Good stuff. That's always fun. It's always fun.
They beat the oh, I didn't know Randy was a Jets guy.
Very nice.
We've just been. We have more Jets fans than
Cowboys fans.
We might have more Jets fans than Patriot fans.
I think you're right. Wow,
that's interesting. Well, at least we know if we need to play a Jets player in fantasy, who to ask about who's actually like playing and playing well. That's how it is with like the Washington Football Club or any of those teams. I'm like, man, if I saw one of their players projected well on the waiver wire, I wouldn't know to trust it or not, because I haven't watched one of their games this year.
Right.
I have watched. I watched the Jets game where Darnold had that monster run, and I think a lot of us had like. Even like LeBron James was tweeting about it. So a lot of people are like, wait, is Darnold still like a viable option for the future? And then a week later, again, it's just right back to Trevor Lawrence talk.
Yeah.
Watch out, Randy, because I think the Jaguars might steal that number one pick from you. You guys don't want to win this game. Because the Jaguars are coming to lose.
To lose. That's it, boys. That's what we did.
Oh, I know. I love me some Crowder.
Oh yeah.
The one guy.
I dropped
the one guy.
I dropped him.
Thanks for watching the show. Thanks for listening to the show. You can find us on Spotify, iTunes, iHeartRadio, wherever you listen to podcasts, Google Play, whatever it is. Find us. You also have a Patreon. Nobody does it, but you should. Thanks for watching and listening to the show. Have a great weekend. Enjoy football. Enjoy some college football today. Pac-12 is back. And as always, go Warriors.
Go Warriors!
And go Ducks. And go Ducks.
Yeah.
We'll add that in there. Add that in there.
Wow, I like that. Die.